Today I'm going to look at the mistakes that we make when we try to deal with emotional eating and go on a diet. Why am I looking at mistakes? Because we learn from mistakes more than we learn from our successes. And I'm actually recording this episode at the end of the calendar year, just before probably 90% of the world's population goes on a diet. And in order to, I suppose, counteract the fact that we've perhaps overindulged, not just over the holiday season, but most of the previous 11 months too. Because the thing is, so many people focus on what they eat between Christmas and New Year, and not enough time on what they eat between New Year and Christmas. Diets aren't bad. We are. This is episode 5 of the Mind Your Muscle podcast.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle podcast.
Life, it wants balance. We want balance. We emotionally eat to counteract, reduce, or remove unwanted feelings in an attempt to feel balanced again. And remember, when we feel bad about something, that's our body telling us that we're experiencing something that doesn't align with what we want. And that feeling we get, that is our internal guidance system. It's our sat-nav, if you like. And it's telling us that we are out of alignment and that we need to course correct. So that's what it's telling you. The emotion we feel is because we're either on track or we're not on track. You are literally feeling your way. It really can't be that simple. We always go back to how we feel. For example, a blind or visually impaired person might walk down the street with a stick. And they use the stick not to tell them where to walk, but firstly to tell them where to avoid. They too feel their way. So, if we are comfort eating, it's because we are trying to control how we feel, trying to figure out what we don't want, and we believe that we can control that feeling with food. Why? Well, I believe that comes down to our point of origin. It's our point of reference. Okay, so it's our point of reference for something. And like I said in the previous episode, that is normally some form or degree of trauma. And trauma can mean different things to different people. Trauma could be being made to answer a question in primary school when you didn't know the answer. You were put in the spot. You didn't answer at all. You were maybe embarrassed. You maybe felt stupid. You could have lost your voice at that time. Or, you know, spoke when you were a child. You were maybe hit by a parent or someone else, or not necessarily physically hit, but verbally hit, telling you to shut up. Again, you might lose your voice. You don't speak. You don't want to speak. You're afraid. And that becomes a learnt behavior with deep-rooted emotional attachment. So when you feel pressured into answering a question, for example, and you're unsure of the answer, what's going to happen is you're going to recall previous instances, like the school scenario, like the parent or the peer or somebody older than you, that back to that situation, and you're going to want to protect yourself in some way with pain avoidance, seeking pleasure and reassurance. Another example of a learned behavior would be to think about when you were, again, a kid, or with your kids now, or your nieces or your nephews or your friends' kids, and when they were a baby and they were upset as a little baby, what do we do? One of the first things that we do when we hear a child crying is ask, do they need fed? And we feed them. And this is a learned behavior. The child is upset. We offer food to comfort them. And not just babies, toddlers too. It's like we give them food to appease them, to calm them down, to keep them quiet, to try and stop them from crying. So from an early age, we start to develop comfort from food rather than what food is actually for. And food is for fuel. Let's remember that. Food is for fuel. It's not for comfort. It's for fuel. We eat food for fuel. But I got to go back to learned behaviors, because what are learned behaviors? Well, learned behaviors are habits. And we know, well, we should, that we can change our habits. And when you learn how to change one habit, you can literally change any habit. There's a process, there's a system. And when you learn how to change the urge to, for example, drink the wine or eat them crisps, when you learn to manage that, then you learn how to control one of those urges. And you can learn how to control more. To change from skipping that workout, quitting that job or closing that business because things got tough, or giving up on that relationship. When you learn how to manage one urge, then you can manage more urges. The problem for us though is that we don't have time to wait, do we? Because we want it done now. We want everything now. We want the situation to change instantly. We want it to change quickly. And when that doesn't happen, rather than assess it, we emotionally react. We lose control of the situation, and most of the time we quit. By controlling the emotional response, you can get control back. I spoke about this in the previous episode. So there's a lot more to emotional eating. And, you know, it would be naive of me to think that we're going to solve it in a podcast or two, because we're not. But the point is always, from my point of view as a coach, to cause you to think, to ask questions. Questions like, where does my emotional eating stem from? Do I even recognize it as emotional eating? Maybe binge eating. Where did it start? When did it start? I would encourage you to go back and scan your childhood, or even just recent past events, traumatic events, even just events. How will you know if they're possible triggers? It's not easy to do, and I know most of you won't do it, but it's why we need support to help look at this and find ways forward. So how do we know if there are possible triggers there? It's going to be obvious when you think about the event, because you got to notice how you feel. It's all about the feeling, all about the emotion. Emotional eating is likely to cause two things. It's going to be repetition there, because we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to repeat the eating and probably repeat the food choices. And because of that, there's going to be weight gain as a result of repeating the high pleasure foods, which for the most part are going to be calorie dense. Just being realistic about that. High pleasure foods for the most part are going to be calorie dense, which means we're going to be consuming more calories. The more calories we consume, the more chance we have of gaining weight. So what practical steps can we take to help us deal with emotional eating? Because that's what we want to do. We want to deal with it. We want to move forward, and we want to change the situation. So the first thing I would actually recommend is a stock check of the foods that you have at home or at your disposal. Now, look, we're unlikely to flip emotional eating quickly, like I said, and we're unlikely to flip it quickly at an identity level. So in the short term, we can use the action level intervention. And if you've no idea what I'm talking about, then please go back and listen to the previous episode, and also watch the training video, which I hooked up in the show notes of episode 4, which is in the first part of emotional eating. But by doing a stock check, we look at the foods that you use or have access to regularly. We look at the foods that you use or have access to regularly to comfort eat. What type of foods are they? Are they sweet? Or are they savory, for example? The next thing we would probably want to do is to move to a replacement phase, where we seek foods that provide some form of pleasure, but are slightly better alternatives in terms of lower calorie. When we start making conscious choices regarding our shopping and begin to choose foods that are both pleasurable and lower in calories, we can have an acceptable trade-off during the early days. Trying to remove everything and go cold turkey with food is not the way to go about it. And that's the problem I see with so many crazy diets out there. And when I say crazy diets, I mean the ones where we label foods as good and bad and massively restrict consumption to get super fast results. So people going on crazy low calorie diets with even no idea of the calories that they're actually consuming. How many good things have you had in your life come to you by doing it quick and rushing it? And how many things in your life did you rush, even though you knew you shouldn't, and you then go on to regret it, wishing you'd had more patience or taken more time? So I want you to indulge me and pause there and think about that. How many things in your life did you rush, do you rush, even though you knew or know that you shouldn't, and then go on to regret it, wishing you'd had more patience or taken more time? Maybe you want to write a couple of those rushed decisions down. By doing that, you're going to become consciously aware that when we rush things we know we should take time over, we probably end up having to redo them. And I guess I have to ask the adult question, are you ready to ditch going on crazy diets and actually do the work? What does that mean? Well, is the diet really the problem? Because if the diet is the problem, then we can blame the diet. Here's the thing. And if we can blame the diet, then we can remove the responsibility away from ourselves, shift it to the diet. Meaning it's not my fault, it was the diet. The diet didn't work. So many people I speak to out there, well, they're blaming the diet for not working. Now, I'm going to admit, I might not be a fan of a lot of the diets out there because so many of them are only providing short-term solutions to your long-term problems. But I recognize that the diets themselves actually do work for the most part. If the goal of the diet is to lose weight, and you take the shakes, for example, or you cut out the carbs, or you go plant-based, or go low-fat, or whatever, they're all going to work. They just probably won't all work long-term. And, you know, even yesterday I seen an ad on Facebook for, I don't even know what it was for. It was for some kind of pill or something. And they were promoting this pill for fat loss. And they had a little snapshot of a testimonial in it. And I seen in the testimonial that, yeah, this is great, it's working really well, and I've cut out all the crap. So what did they do? Was it the pill that's done the work? Probably fucking not. It was probably the fact that they've cut out all the crap. But most diets are going to work. Like I said, they're just probably not going to work long term. So when you stop them, you find that you're going to start to slowly move backwards. And alas, when that happens, we proclaim in shifting the blame, I tried such and such a diet, but it didn't work. Bullshit. Okay, that's denial, that's deflection, and that is disaster. Diets aren't bad. And saying diets are bad, it's not really helpful because the diet isn't the problem. The problem is our emotional attachment to food, to overeating. That's what's going on. We're overeating. And also, how we become emotionally attached or detached to certain ways of eating, i.e. our diet. Why are you overeating? How do you feel when you go on the diet? And again, this is another opportunity to pause, reflect, and actually become consciously aware, to have a think about this. So I want you to pause again now for a second and really think about that. How do you feel when you go on a diet? Or how do you feel when you go on the diet? Some of us have go-to diets that we use, you know, to drop a certain amount of weight. Because how you feel is important. The diets themselves, they don't feel a certain way. We feel a certain way about the diet. It's what we make the diet mean. Recognize that. We make the diet feel a certain way. Your feelings about anything are determined by you. Hence, they're your feelings. And not by the thing or the person that you're thinking about. Again, it comes back to responsibility, which I spoke about in episode 3. Now, if a stranger came up to you in the supermarket and said something about your weight or implied something, you might get annoyed, but you probably wouldn't think about it that much after the incident. However, if your best friend or your partner said the same thing, you're likely to feel differently. There'll be more emotion attached to it. You'll maybe be hurt more. You'll be angry. The same words were used, or the same inference implied, but the feelings are different. So it's not the words, and it's also not the person. It's how we react to them that's the issue. That's where the feeling is. We're in control of those feelings. It's not the person and it's not the words. It's us. And what happens when we go on a diet? What happens when you go on a diet? What do you do? The first thing that happens is normally you reduce your food intake. So like I said, when I looked at that thing yesterday on Facebook, and I seen that person say, yeah, I cut out all the crap, I thought, well, there you go. I mean, you can't even say that where you're at now has anything to do with that pill or whatever it was that you took. You cut out the crap. You stop overeating and over-consuming calories when you go on a diet. Or at least you should, all right? And people overeat because they either don't want to deal with what's going on in their emotional life, or they just have a complete lack of awareness, a complete lack of knowledge or understanding about what they are eating. They were maybe never taught. You were maybe never taught. You were maybe never aware of calories in food and actually what calories mean. What are they for? How do they impact me? And there's so much information out there that you can go and get and research on that and start to understand this. And if you don't want to even do that, then just keep listening, all right? And keep following people like me. What the diet does, right, is it creates some form of awareness and then reduces or removes the option for you to overeat. And from there, it highlights why you were overeating in the first place. Okay, so I'm going to say that again. What the diet does is it creates some form of awareness and then reduces or removes the option for you to overeat. And from there, it highlights why you were overeating. The reason for overeating, however, it's still there. Except it's now not getting suppressed by the food anymore and shows up in how we feel. And that can be frustration, anger, irritation, or unmanaged emotions. The result for a lot of people then is to blame the diet for those emotions coming up. So they're going to be feeling those emotions whenever they go on the diet, and they blame the diet for that. So the result for a lot of people then is to blame the diet for those emotions coming up by saying, like, you know, I'm on this diet and I'm really struggling. Or I just feel angry all the time. Or I just feel frustrated all the time. Or I just feel irritable. When it's not the diet actually causing that. The diet is simply allowing us to feel what it is that we've been suppressing through emotional eating and overeating. So if you're going on a diet, it's important that you're aware of how you feel about the diet. What are you allowing the diet to make you feel? Is the diet doing that? Or is it something in your life that you've been avoiding or covering up from food? The diet is literally just revealing what's going on in your head. It's actually starting to free you up, but we don't recognize that. We see it as pain. We see the diet as the problem. So I want to go back to my point that I mentioned earlier when I said that diets normally do work. They stop working when you come off it. They stop working when you stop the diet because it was only a short-term solution. Maybe you stop because you reached your goal weight. Maybe you stop because you reached the dress size. Maybe you stop because, I don't know, you didn't like how you felt while you were on the diet. There could be a number of reasons why you stopped. But what we have to look at as well is, did we follow through, or was it just not sustainable long term? For me personally, as a coach, I always encourage clients to make small changes to what they eat and also to know how to rate themselves on whether they stuck to the guidelines I set for them. So often I see people fail to achieve weight loss, fat loss, or body shape goals because they didn't follow the plan. So my point is, if we aren't expecting to make the diet a complete lifestyle, long-term integration into our life, then we have to accept that the diet is only going to take us so far. And whenever we get to that stage, well, we're going to need another plan. We're going to need another option. And that is why diets don't work for people. Again, it's on us. It ain't the diet. We didn't have the next step planned because we can't do diets long term, all right? Whenever we invert a commas, think about the word diet, all right? We can feel like crap doing them. We aren't always realistic as to the outcome. And we are naive to think that the diet will get us the same results as our neighbor. Ah, that's one of the biggest things, the worst things, is comparing ourselves to how someone else has fared and featured on a diet. Because, you know, you can't compare yourself to your neighbor. You're not your neighbor. You're not your friend. Your mind works differently. Your body works differently. Your feelings are different. Your tolerance or intolerance, your will, your motivation, your commitment, your support systems, your reasons for doing the diet in the first place are different. And when the diet feels us, well, we seek comfort. Where do we seek it? In food. We just end up in this cycle of success and then failure. Success and failure. Backwards and forwards. Diet worked. Diet didn't work. Went backwards. Went in the diet again. Diet worked. Diet didn't work. Went backwards. Went in the diet again. Backwards and forwards. Up and down. A little bit like a yo-yo. Don't know if you ever heard that one before. The yo-yo dieter. But when we blame the diet, we miss the opportunity to deal with the reason that we overeat in the first place. Because remember, like I said, it's all about overeating. Okay, if we're gaining weight, it's because we're overeating. Diets reveal all the negative emotions that are underneath the emotional eating. The way we think about diets is that it's short term. It's not sustainable. So it's like, yeah, I'm going on a diet for 4 weeks here. I'm going on a diet for 6 weeks, whatever. Okay, but diets are just a way of eating. Got to remember, said this at the start, food is to fuel our body. It helps us function. We need food. Overeating is eating fuel, consuming fuel, when we don't need it. We don't actually need the fuel. You know, think about it like maybe running your heating in the house. In the height of summer, with all the windows and doors closed, and wondering why the house feels really uncomfortable. You don't need that fuel. So going on a diet allows you to become aware of and experience hunger too. Okay, so going on a diet allows you to become aware of and experience hunger. And that's okay in my opinion. Because going on a diet that tries to disguise or trick or hide the hunger is a different scenario. And not okay in my opinion. We have to be aware of hunger and the various levels of hunger. Hunger is not a bad thing when we're managing it. You don't always have to have that full stomach. Did you know that? You don't always have to be full. Did you know that experiencing a little hunger is okay? And what I'm doing is I'm giving you permission here. I'm giving you permission to try and experience a little hunger. Try it. See what comes up then emotionally. For you. So go and experience that little bit of hunger. See what comes up emotionally for you. And think about why that's happening. What emotions am I experiencing here? And why is that happening? That's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. I will catch you in episode number 6.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.